Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. As always, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And God's Word is true. It is true. It is great. It is good. And I can't help it. I get giddy for Jesus. I love the Word of God. I get all excited for it because God's Word tells us everything we need to know to live a productive life. All we have to do is go by it. I'm a firm believer. When you go by the Word of God, everything else falls into place. I'm not perfect, so I'm not always there, but I'm working toward it. Mother's pastor used to say, I'm just in transition because I'm trying my best to make it to where I need to go to reach the mark of the high calling that can only come from the Savior. But today we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk in Joshua. We're going to be in Proverbs. We're going to be all over our word this morning. And for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are a Bible study. And we are a From Genesis to Revelation Bible Study, Daily Biblical Principles. And I am coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version because that's what God put on my heart. And it makes it a little bit easier to understand for those that are just getting into the Word and reading the Word and studying the Word. And, you know, I've even gone and now I got some more resources that I'm using and studying just because the more you learn, you know, you have to study to show yourself approved. And sometimes we get caught up in reading the same people all the time. But sometimes you got to get other stuff. You got to get other resources. You know, I just found a little Bible, a little book actually, and it just says all 66 books explained and applied. Know your Bible. And, you know, I look at it and read it because I want to know the Word better. I read the Word, but I want to know the Word. And so that's why we have to go and look for resources. We can't just think that we know it all because there's no such thing. Every day I learn something new. Every day I get a new understanding of a word that I thought I knew or read, and I'll go back. If I feel that I haven't understood something, I will go back and read it again. You know, the more you read the Word of God, the better it gets. And, you know, we have to pray. And I was, you know, today we're going to be in the book of Luke, which is where our title is coming from, which is when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father God, we ask you to come in this morning. We ask you to increase as we decrease. We ask you, Father God, to open hearts, minds, and feet and spirits to receive this word, Lord God, that it be received with open minds, ears to hear, and hearts unhardened. Father God, let this word permeate our spirits, our minds, and our soul. And Lord God, as we hallow your name, but Lord, we are just humble servants asking you to help us, each, every one of us, learn your word, so we can fight against the wiles of the enemy. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight as I study and read your word. Lord God, let everything that I speak and say be true to what you want me to say. Remove all flesh and replace it with your Holy Spirit. Precious and holy name of our Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, thanking you in advance, Father, that someone will leave this block, this broadcast, different than when they came. They will feel your presence as they go through their day. In Jesus' name, amen. I can tell you, every day that we come together and we read the Word of God, that I feel better. I have a better day. I feel that when you start your day off in the Word, you start your day off with prayer, you feel better for the whole day. As I'm looking out, as the sun is coming up, and the sun is shining all beautiful and bright, I just feel good. I feel really good because I know, all right, Lord, you are in charge. The sun is up. It's a new day, and you gave me a do-over. So I pray that today is better for you than yesterday and that all things are going to work for your good in the name of Jesus. So let's get started in our daily word today. And we're back on schedule. We are in Joshua chapter 13 through chapter 14, 15. If you'd like to write the scriptures down that we're reading today, so you can go back and read them yourself later. Psalms chapter 44, verses 20 through 26. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3. And our word for today, Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 28. So let's get in our Joshua word this morning. And I'm excited. Y'all know this is my favorite book of the Bible. I don't know if it was because I was married to a military man or what, but it's just something about Joshua and his just planning. You know, he is a preparer. He thinks it through. He is good, and he don't play. He will nip it in the bud quick and in a hurry. No foolishness. Joshua was not a foolishness kind of leader. He was like, this is how we're going to do it. But first, before I do anything, I'm going to pray. And he was just like, you know, like Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, Jesus prayed. Now, if our Savior, who is the Son of God, sitting on the right hand of God, prays, why do we think we don't need to? We got to pray. And you got to pray all the time. Meditate on this word day and night. Those are the words of God, not mine. We got to meditate on this word day and night, and we have to pray. So let's get to the word of God. So we are starting our day off right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty, mighty word. And it says, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all that of the Geshurites from Shihor, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron, northwest, which is counted as Canaanite. The five lords of the Philistines, the Gezerites, the Ashdodites, and the Ashkelonites, and the Gittites, also the Avites from the south, all the land of the Canaanites and Mira, and belongs to the Sidonese, as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gibeonites, and all Lebanon toward the sunrise, from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon, as far as the entrance of Hamath, all the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon, as far as the brook of Mesrephoroth, and all the Sidonese, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel, only divided by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now, therefore, divide the land as an inheritance to the nine tribes and half tribe of Manasseh. Because remember, half two and a half tribes stayed on the opposite side of the Jordan. So as we continue, it says this. With all the other half tribes, the Reubenites and the Gadites received their inheritance with Moses had given them. And that's the Reubenites are Reuben's children, the descendants of Reuben, and the descendants of Gad and half tribe of Manasseh are on the north side of the Jordan, I guess is what I want to say, beyond the Jordan eastward as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given them. So they are opposite side, but understand, they said, we are going to fight with you until your stuff is settled, and then we'll go home. So they did not complete their assignment. Their assignment was to also be warriors helping their brothers get their stuff settled, because they all said they got cities, they got everything they need, and their wives and children are safe of the Jordan. And it says, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given them from Ira, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the town that is in the midst of the ravine, and all the plain of Medeba, as far as Debon, all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, as far as the border of the children of Ammon, Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites, and the Machanites and Mount Hermon and all Bashan, as far as Salcath, all the kingdom of Og of Bashan, who reigned in Asheroth and Adarot, who remained on the remnant of the giants. But Moses had defeated and cast out these. Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites or the Machanites, but the Geshurites and the Machanites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Only to the tribe of Levi he had given no inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. And Moses had given to the tribe of the children of Reuben an inheritance according to their families. Their territory was from Ira, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the ravine, and all the plains of Medeba, Heshbon, and all the cities that are in the plain, Debon, Bamoth, Baal, Beth, Baal, Meon, Jahaza, Kedemoth, Nepharat, Kirat, Jerusalem, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing these names right, Sevim, Zerah, Shehar, of the mountains of the valley of Beth Peor, the slope of Pisgah, Beth Jeshimon, all the cities of the plains, and all the kingdoms of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses had struck of Midian, Eva, Rakim, Zor, Hur, and Reba, who were princes of Sihon, dwelling in the country. The children of Israel also killed them with the sword. Balaam, and remember Balaam, he was the prophet that was trying to speak a curse on Israel and instead spoke a blessing. He is also the one whose donkey spoke to him because he was getting ready to do some dirt. And the angel of the Lord was about to strike him down, and it was the donkey that saved his life. But he eventually died. He eventually got killed because he still didn't learn from the experience. And it goes on to say, Balaam, the son of Beor, the soothsayer among those who were killed by them. And the border of the children of Reuben was the bank of the Jordan. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Moses also had given an inheritance to the tribe of Gad, to the children of Gad according to their families. Their territory was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead and half the land of the Ammonites as far as Aroer, which is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon to Ramath Mizpah and Bethonim, and from Manahim to the border of Debir, and in the valley of Beth Aram, Beth Namra, Sefkath, and Zaphon and the rest of the kingdom of Shihon, king of Heshbon, with the Jordan as its border, as far as the edge of the sea of the Shinareth, and on the other side of the Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad according to their families, the cities, and their villages. Moses also had given an inheritance to half the tribe of Manasseh. It was for half of the tribe of the children of Manasseh according to their families. Their territory was from Menahem, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Or, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jer, which are in Bashan, 60 cities, half of Gilead and Asheroth, Adarai, cities of the kingdom of Or and Bashan, were for the children of Makir, the son of Manasseh, for half the children of Makir according to their families. These are the areas which Moses had distributed as an inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side of the Jordan by Jericho eastward. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses had given no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he had said to them. Chapter 14. But we're going to read a life lesson, which is from Dr. Stanley. And it says, the children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam. Balaam spoke many positive, true, insightful, and even flattering things about God and Israel. Numbers 23 through 25. Yet as a soothsayer, he demonstrated his wickedness. We cannot pick and choose which commands of God we will obey. We got to obey them all. I like to say, if you go by the top 10, you'll be all right, because it covers pretty much all the other sins, all the other statutes. If you go by the top 10 commandments written by the hand of God, all your other stuff will fall into place. As Jesus said, the second and greatest commandment, love your neighbor, second half of the top 10. Love the Lord your God, first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. All in the top 10, verse 5. Break it in half. You got to love the Lord your God. Second half, you got to love your neighbor. You know, don't believe me? Go to Exodus chapter 20 and go to Deuteronomy, and you'll get the information that I'm saying. Because if you read the word of God, it all starts to click into place that when we do what God says do, everything else will fall into place in your life. But the main thing is we got to get out of these idolatrous spirits that seem to be around. We get so full of ourselves that we forget God. We got to always make sure God is first and foremost in everything that we do. That's why when we start our day with the word of God, everything else falls into place. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty, awesome word. And as we continue, these are the areas, chapter 14 of the book of Joshua. These are the areas which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed as an inheritance to them. Their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the two tribes and the half tribe on the other side of the Jordan. But to the Levites, he had given no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they gave no part to the Levites in the land except cities to dwell in, common lands for their livestock and their property. And the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. And understand, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that God blessed of the group of 12 to get into the promised land. The other 10 God destroyed. Plus, they had to walk in the wilderness for 40 years because these two believed in God 100% that they could take the promised land 40 years ago. But because of the disobedience of the 10 and the disinformation that they went and spoke to the tribes, making everybody afraid, they didn't make it in. But these two did. And no, he told Joshua, you're old. But guess what? He didn't feel old. Caleb didn't feel old. They were still pretty spry for their ages. And this is what it says. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. 40 years old. So he's 80, about 80 years old. About 80. Where he went in, 40 spying out the land, and 80 to finally get there. And he said, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trod shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. No, 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old, so 45 years later. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. 85. So we're talking now 45 years later. They have made it into the promised land. And Caleb's like, I want my stuff. I want my inheritance. And this is what Joshua said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. The land had rest from war. Caleb said, I'm getting my stuff. I followed God. I'm 85, and it's time for me to have my inheritance. And my children's children, children's children, to have their inheritance. And he got his stuff. And let's get some life lessons from Joshua chapter 14. And the first one is Joshua 14:9. The land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. When we choose to wholly follow the Lord, he will move heaven and earth, if necessary, to fulfill his good promises to us. We got to trust God, y'all. We got to trust God. What God says he will do, he will do. Psalms 40 is where we're getting ready to go. And we'll have a life lesson from Psalms 44:22. So let's start at Psalms chapter 44, verse 20. So please join me in Psalms 44, verse 20. And it says, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secret of the heart. Yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. And I'm sure that those that have been oppressed, that have been in the midst of genocide, that have been brutalized, probably if they read a word of God, this would be what they would be praying. Because it's a prayer. It's a prayer that says we, and he's speaking to God. They're speaking to God. This prayer is a prayer asking God for help, asking God for guidance, asking God to guide. And it says the chief musicians, lation of the sons of Korah. This is a sons of Korah lament, a prayer. If we have forgotten, think this through, the name of our God, are stretched out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our afflictions and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. That's a prayer. And it says, yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Psalms 44:22. Paul quotes this unsettling verse in the middle of a passage extolling God's love, Romans 8:36. Why? Because he wanted us to know that even in the worst of circumstances, God's love for us remains unchanged. I'm going to say it again. God's love for us remains unchanged. God loved us in the midst of our turmoil. He loved us in the midst of persecution. He loves us in the midst of being brutalized. He loves us in the midst of being enslaved. He loves us in the midst. Everything we go through, God's love never fails. You just have to learn to wait on the Lord. We all have to learn to wait on the Lord. Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. That's a highlightable. Proverbs 14:3 is a highlightable. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. And I like to say, this is me saying this, sometimes we need to keep our tongue behind our teeth. We don't need to tell everything. We don't need to go out and blast, put it on blast. You don't have to tell everybody on Facebook what you have for dinner. Take a picture of it. Tell them where you are and what you're doing. Because understand, you open your place up for robbery. You open yourself up for ridicule. You are all up in the midst of mess. We need to stop. Everything in your life does not have to be broadcast on Facebook. You don't have to be on TikTok to show that you might be old, but you can still move like the youngsters. And you can twerk. You don't have to be out there doing that. And understand, everybody on Twitter is not your friend. Everybody on Twitter is not your friend. It opens it up for you to be all up in the mess. Folks love to criticize and vilify, but they can do it in anonymity, and that's what they like. I can talk about you like a dog, but you don't know who I am. You don't have to have open everything. Close your mouth. You know, you don't have to tell everybody you bought a new car and take pictures of it and take pictures with it. You don't have to tell everybody that you bought a new house. Some things are between you and God. Leave it there. Keep your business to yourself, because all you do is some create folks that get all upset because they have prideful spirits themselves and they don't want nobody to have what they got. And it also creates so many spirits that fall within the top 10. Folks like that, they get out there and just lie on Facebook, get out there and just covet like ain't nobody's business. Covet the spirit, and let's not forget idolatry. All up in it. That's how so many folks fall down the rabbit hole, falling after every Tom, Dick, and Harry that throws the word pastor on their name. Or, you know, I'm an elder, I'm a this, I'm a that. You are a title, because what you're writing is not of God. We got to look past the surface. But you, how you find out is by reading your words yourself. If somebody gets up in a pulpit and they don't pull out a Bible at all, but they read one word, and the next thing you know, they done preached the whole sermon, hooped, hollered, ran across the room, up and down the aisle. And when you walk out the door, you hear people say, "Ooh, Pastor Show did preach today." What did he preach on? What scripture did he come from? And then when you stop and think, he didn't preach from the word. Go back. If the word of God is not preached from that pulpit, the word of God is not open from that pulpit, you need to find another church that is a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. I am grateful for my pastors that we have a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. The word of God is going forth. And it might, you know, my kids tease me because if you was off on Mondays, you'd be at church Monday night too. So be there Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Sunday. And then don't forget the Saturday practices. And if you was off on Wednesday, you probably have a practice on Wednesday and one on Friday. But I work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm at my church. I'm at my church. And Saturday, I'm probably at my church too. But I tell you this, I have no problem with it because I love God. And I love to go to work for him. And let's keep moving. We got chapter 11, which is our prayer for today. It is the Father's prayer. You know, we all go to Matthew chapter 6. Most people forget that it's also in the book of Luke. And it says this, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And we're talking John the Baptist. "So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done." Please repeat after me. "On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, by day, our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And when we go into Matthew, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So understand, Luke breaks it down even more. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, same. Your will be done, same. On earth as it is in heaven, same. But then when he gets down to the nitty gritty, Luke, break it down. And forgive us and give us day by day our daily bread. Lord, give us our sustenance. And forgive us our sins. Forgive us the debt of sin. As we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, everyone who sinned against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We got to be delivered from the devil. Then he goes on to say, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. There's that word. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We got to ask for the Holy Spirit. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Constantly knocking for that daily bread. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, and he was casting out demons, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke. And the multitude marveled, but some of them said he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. And we need to put that in a highlightable. We as a nation have got to quit being divided. Because if, as a divided nation, we open the door for the enemy to destroy us. We got to come back together as a United States, one nation under God, indivisible. We got to have that in our hearts and in our spirits and get out of that party line foolishness. Because dividers are nothing but that. Dividers don't want us to be united, because a house united can stand, withstand all things, but a house divided can be picked off and picked away until there's nothing left. And it goes on to say, if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Ooh, Jesus is speaking. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. Finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Understand, the enemy loves to conquer. He loves to create confusion and mess in your life, in your homes, in your churches. That's what he does. It's like the, what is it, the Geico commercial. That's such and such. That's what he does. That the devil, that's what he does, causes confusion, causes divisiveness, causes all those things that are not, and tries to make you think that they were. We are the children of God, and we got to stand and know who we belong to. We are not children of the devil. We are God's children, God's anointed, and we will fight for our churches. We will fight for our families. We will fight for our nations because we are God's children, and we stand up and fight. Joshua did not bow down. Joshua said, I will not walk in fear, but I will be strong and courageous. For the Lord told us, do not walk in fear, to be strong and courageous. Did God not say, be strong and courageous? Did he not say, I will be with you wherever you are? I will never leave you or forsake you. We got to stand up and be united for God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done. And that's how we have to act. God's will be done, not ours. We got to get out of the flesh and get in the spirit. And this is what it says. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And that's a life lesson for this morning. God always promises to bless joyful obedience. We delight God's heart when we choose to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he commands us to do. And I have a couple of life, I have some life principles. If you like to get out something to write on, this is what Dr. Stanley has given us. Three life principles. And the first is, consider three reasons why obedience is critical to the successful Christian life. Consider three reasons why obedience, and I'm talking obedience to God, is critical to the successful Christian life. The first one is, one, obeying God in small matters is an essential step to God's greatest blessings. We got to obey God for the little. And when you do the little, God will give you more. Two, our obedience always benefits others. And number three, when we obey God, we will never be disappointed. Because if you have a disappointment, you weren't obeying God. Because the Lord God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It didn't say the disobedient, the sadness is my, no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because we obey God, he gives us joy. Hallelujah, we are blessed beyond measure when we obey God. And it says obedience always brings blessings. And this is what it says, Luke 11:28. The Lord's simple request often serve as stepping stones to life's most wonderful blessings. Simon Peter illustrates what can happen when we say yes to God. But what did it say in verse 28? But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And as it goes on to say, one day a large crowd pressed around Jesus while he preached. Luke 5:1-11, which we read. The Lord wanted to use Peter's boat as a floating platform from which to address the multitude. So he asked the future apostle to push the vessel out a little way from the shore. Not in itself a particularly remarkable request, Peter's compliance paved the way for staggering blessings. By his example, we learn how essential it is to obey God in even the smallest matters. The noisy crowd received the first blessing of Peter's obedience. The people could now clearly hear Jesus' words. At the conclusion of the lesson, the Lord said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. A second opportunity to say yes or no, but this time Peter must have felt tempted to decline. After all, he had worked the entire night for a catch but had returned empty-handed. And now this young teacher, a carpenter, by the way, not a fisherman, was telling him to go fishing again. But notice what happened. As a result of Peter's second act of obedience on a day that he and his partners must have counted as a total loss, in not one but two overflowing boats of fish, say yes to the Lord's request resulted in a miracle that transformed the fisherman's life. Consider these three reasons why obedience is critical to the successful Christian life. And we're going to go over those three again. The first one being obey God in small manners is an essential step to God's greatest blessing. Suppose Peter said, look, I'm busy cleaning my nets right now. I can't help you because I'm going fishing again tonight. Or he could have said, why don't you ask to use the other boat over there? Or I've already been fishing today. It would be a waste of time to go again. If Peter had said anything other than yes, he would have missed the greatest fishing experience of his life. But because of Peter's obedience, the Lord arranged a miracle that he would never forget. And that's when he said that he would be fishermen of men. He called his boys, and they became disciples of Jesus. Oftentimes, God's greatest blessings are our willingness to do something that appears very insignificant. So ask yourself, has God been challenging me to do something seemingly unimportant that I have not yet made an effort to accomplish? Is there anything I have rationalized by saying, it's too difficult, I don't want to, I have to pray about it first? Oh my, he's just preaching all up in my business. You know, there's things that I know that I've been called to do and to say, but I'm like, Lord, I got to pray about it. I'm still praying about it. And God said, I already told you what to do. I already told you who you are. You just got to accept it. But sometimes we can be too humble, to the point where we miss our blessing. We miss our calling when we know that God is calling us to do greater. And I'm believing he's going to open doors for me to do what I want to do and go where I want to go. I am believing God for great things in my life. And it goes on to say, our obedience always benefits others. Think of how many people were blessed by Peter's obedience. Not only could the crowd see the Lord and hear his lesson, but Jesus himself also benefited. Preaching from the boat enabled him to sit down in comfort while he spoke. Then, of course, Peter's friends had a very profitable day. They took in two vessels so full of fish that both began to sink. More importantly, they had the opportunity to witness something supernatural. God often rewards others, in particular those close to us, as a result of our obedience. For example, no father can obey God without a blessing pouring into the lives of his wife and children. Likewise, a child obedience will bless his or her parents. Praise God. And our last one is when we obey God, we will never be disappointed. Peter no doubt assumed that Jesus' fishing instructions would amount to a waste of time. But when he complied with the Lord's simple request, the Lord brought about a miracle that gripped him with amazement. Jesus turned an empty boat into a full one. We, like Peter, must recognize that obeying God is always the wisest course of action. He can also take our emptiness, whether related to finances, relationships, or careers, and change it into something splendid. Perhaps you hesitate to obey because you fear the consequences. Remember that the same sovereign, omnipotent God who keeps your heart beating and the planets orbiting is more than able to handle the results of your obedience. I don't mean that to obey will necessarily result in the outcome you desire. In fact, an intervening trial could well precede a blessing. That's so true. But even when our expectations do not line up with God's purpose, His ways never end up disappointing us. On the contrary, however, He chooses to bless our obedience always proves most satisfying in the end. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Keep God first, family, in all that you do, and know that God has you covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. So when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, giving God absolute everything that you need and more than you could ever ask for. He's for you as He is always there for me. As we continue, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and then it is a wrap. And the word from Sister Carolyn this morning is push. Hallelujah. When you're starting to feel defeated, that's the best time to push. Again, pray until something happens. Prayer changes things. Have a motivated Monday, and I'm about to burst into tears because that's what our word is about today, prayer. Joshua prayed. Caleb prayed. We pray. God answers our prayers, but we pray not amiss, but pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we pray that this morning as we also pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In the holy name of Christ Jesus, we pray over you and yours. Family, have a blessed and glorious day, continuously praying to our Father God. Hallowed be his name. Hallowed be the name of our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Pray your prayer. And again, as Sister Carolyn has so eloquently put it this morning, you got to push. Pray until whatever it is you need from God, keep praying for it and watch God work it out for you. Pray until something happens and know that our Heavenly Father, hallowed is your name, Father God. We keep trusting him and watch him work. That's all I got this morning. If there's anybody that has a word that would like to speak, and we do. 4727, your line is open. Four digits of your phone number. Your line is open. You need to push your phone up. We can't hear you. You're on mute. Port 727. Your line is open. I'm ready. Your line is open. You just have to take it off of mute. We'll come back to 4727. 8142, your line is open.
Good morning, name Bridget.
Good morning. How are you, Jay?
I'm doing all right. All I can say is what a word
this
morning.
Praise God.
No problem. And I just want to encourage everybody to just stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Because there are a lot of life lessons in the Bible that some of us really don't know about. And those life lessons will help you on this path with God, help you to walk and talk right, help you with your family, your children, everything. So I just encourage everybody, amen, stay in the Word.
Thank you so much, Brother Johnson. You have a blessed and wonderful day, and we pray the prayer that you will be feeling better, that you are healed, and that God is working completely and totally in your life. Have a blessed day, my brother. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We appreciate you. Seven, your line is open. Four, seven, two, seven, your line is open. Cannot hear you. We can't hear you. If you're speaking, we can't hear you. And you will need to unmute your phone.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
There we go.
There we go.
Good morning,
oh,
good morning.
Goodness.
Good morning, good morning.
That is crazy. I didn't know I had it on mute. But I just thank the God, thank God for you. Every morning when I listen to you, it's just a joy and a pleasure to hear you in the morning. So I just ask God to keep on, that he strengthen you and multiply you in every good way, give you what you stand in the need of each and every day. And God bless you and your entire family. That's all I had to say. It's just a joy.
We appreciate it.
Thank
you so much, and
it's
a joy. I feel like I can't even start the show until I see 4727 pop up. I'm like, okay, where is she? And for those that are just joining this movement, this is Mother Rita. She is the mother of this church we call Moving Forward. I am so grateful to her for her support, for her love, and for her always being here to support me. She is actually physically the auntie of our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And so I just got adopted in. I think I kind of had a Beauregard moment and just kind of Beauregarded into the family because I love this woman and her sisters. They are so much, they are very important in my life, and I love them so completely. So Mother Rita, thank you so much. I love you. I ask God to continuously bless you and watch over you, as well as you as well, Brother Jonathan and Sister Carolyn and all of you that are listening. May God watch over you and bless you as well and your families. As we always pray and as we have prayed, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. Again, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed. Join me tomorrow as we are continuing in our word from Joshua. We are in a proverb and our Psalms, and we're still in the book of Luke. So thank you so much. Be blessed. It's time to go to work. I know I really do physically have to go to work. So I love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.